Reporter Steve Fishman's profile of Bernard Madoff in New York Magazine garnered quite a bit of media attention this week. Madoff, of course, is one of the most infamous criminals in history, the perpetrator of a more than $50 billion Ponzi scheme, who's currently serving a 150-year prison sentence. When we read Fishman's piece, we wondered about the background negotiations that resulted in the profile. How did he reach Madoff? Why did Madoff, who presumably is being courted by many journalists, agree to an interview with Fishman? So we asked Fishman to tell us the story behind the story. Turns out he'd been trying to reach Madoff for months, years actually, sending him letters, books, all of which were returned by prison officials. None of his persistence was working until one day he heard from a guy named Robert Rosso, one of Madoff's fellow convicts who became a sort of de facto fixer. Fishman tells the story.
I got a hold of a list of everybody who was in prison with him. I wrote to everybody who was still in prison at that point and got several responses, including from Robert Rosso. Rosso and I started communicating. And one day I said to him, can you do me a favor? I have this letter. I think I understand Madoff and his position. I just can't communicate it to him. Could you give him this letter? And he agreed to do that.
Okay, Robert Rosso, tell me something about this guy. He doesn't exactly have the resume of a New York Magazine intern.
He has served really a hard time in penitentiaries, where he rose to the top of the prison hierarchy, organizing gambling games, running the drug trade from inside prison, all the while sustaining a pretty healthy heroin and alcohol addiction.
And yet he played a pivotal role in you landing the Madoff interview, because it turns out there is another side to Robert Rosso.
He is a writer of some talent, and he found in Bernie Madoff a subject that he knew would garner wide attention. So he's been writing missives from prison, where he walked the track with Bernie Madoff, became a friend of Bernie Madoff. And he had asked Madoff for months for an interview. Actually, as he said, for the first interview. And then Madoff's son, Mark, committed suicide. And as Rosso told me, he didn't have the heart to press the point. Then one day, Rosso was informed that he was being moved out of Madoff's prison. And he decided he had to jump at that moment. In the yard, he gives Madoff a list of 12 or 13 questions. And Madoff, within a couple days, gives him written answers.
I'm looking at the interview between Robert Rosso and Bernie Madoff on Robert Rosso's website, and he asked about Madoff's typical day in prison. He asked him what kind of books Madoff reads. Here's another one. Do you have any suggestions about how to get the economy back on track? Answer, no. Question, what is your take on the recommendations of the Hamilton and Volcker Committee? Madoff answers, it is obvious that Volcker was unhappy with the government reforms. His suggestions were correct, but as usual, Wall Street won the day. It is absolutely astounding that nobody in the investment banks faced criminal charges. I'm just astonished that Robert Rosso went in this direction. What did you think of his brand of journalism?
I think it's a fascinating artifact. He enjoys speaking to Bernie Madoff because the conversations are not like every other conversation he has, which is obsessed with prison politics, as he told me, who's getting thrown in the hole, who's got a certain hustle. And now he can sit with a Bernie Madoff and, as Rosso told me, speak about credit default swaps and the financial reform regulation. The interesting advantage that Rosso has as a journalist is that, you know, he's not a guy who is going to insist on remorse. It's not a setting where you need to demand that Madoff justify himself. You know, there is a fascination with Madoff in prison. People are interested in the fact that he's the greatest financial criminal in history in their midst. And they're particularly interested in that aspect of his accomplishment, you know, the way he succeeded in their field.
Okay, so that was his interview. How precisely did that lead to your interview?
He then felt that not being a journalist, he said, you know, I'm not Oprah or Larry King. He felt that there was a value to having me talk to Madoff as well. Frankly, I think it tickled him to be the PR person for Bernie Madoff. He actually was in communication with lots of journalists, the New York Times, the New York Post, Vanity Fair. So he is somebody who is sophisticated about the media to a certain extent and reached out. And for whatever reason, he and I kind of developed this simpatico that let us take it further.
So tell me about the moment you actually heard from Madoff. The phone rings one day and...
I actually missed the first phone call because you have to push all these buttons. You have to listen to this message and push buttons if you accept and push buttons if you deny or want to block the call. And the first time I heard the message, I pushed the wrong button, which had me paralyzed, having made a career misstep of enormous proportions. But then he fortunately called back.
You have a collect call from
Bernard Madoff,
an inmate at a federal prison. To hear the cost of this call, press 8 now.
And then, you know, there was this voice.
Bernie?
Yes, Steve.
Hi.
Okay, listen, before I forget, I don't think it's
this voice, you know, this kind of Queens, outer borough guy on the end of the line, and somebody that I'd been writing about for so long that at some points I felt like I could kind of channel his thoughts, which I know sounds weird. But there, you know, there is a moment at which you kind of get into a subject where you feel like you understand him or her.
I tried to return funds to my friends. I tried to return monies to the smaller clients and so on. They wouldn't take it back. I mean, the abuse I got from people, how could
you? He's not a guy who ducks behind lawyers. He would go anywhere, talk about his son's suicide, talk about his scheme, how he got into it. So there was this kind of extraordinary exchange that I certainly couldn't have predicted or expected, but that I was really delighted to engage in.
All right, Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Steve Fishman's profile of Bernard Madoff appeared in New York Magazine. We'll link to Fishman's piece and to Rosso's profile from our site, onthemedia.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.